The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly.
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans gear
has no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 357. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. And before we get to my guest, I'd like to talk real quickly about an event that happened to me, a situation, I should say, that happened to me last week. And I'm not going to go real deep into it, but I was a victim of a car accident last Thursday. It was a pretty bad car accident, as a matter of fact. Basically, there was an individual, as I was traveling down a two-lane road that was marked double yellow, by the way. An individual that tried to pass a couple of cars, almost hit me head-on, but I swerved to the right onto the berm and then kind of lost control of my car and hit a tree. I'm okay. I have a sprained wrist, and that's kind of a pain in the neck. But given what could have happened, I will take that sprained wrist and be absolutely happy with it. I guess my point is this. I'm not going to go into, you know, any type of like cliched discussion about, you know, you only have X amount of time on this planet, et cetera, et cetera. All I want to say about it is that, you know, I'm lucky that I got out of that accident unscathed. And I thank everybody from all my friends, all my colleagues, my family, everybody who checked up on me and made sure that last weekend was a little bit of an easier going weekend, not just because of my physical injuries, but, you know, mentally, I probably wasn't in a very good space, you know, to be involved in such a horrible car accident and walking out pretty much unscathed kind of messes with you a little bit. So I'm just going to say this, ladies and gentlemen, when you're behind the wheel, just drive safe, okay? There's no need to drive like a maniac or to drive distracted because, you know, you don't know what might be coming down the road literally. And so just do that. Use some common sense when you're behind the wheel, please, all right? And that's it. I'm not going to dive into any more of a tirade or anything like that because it's over and done with. Trying to move on. Got to buy a new car now, so I guess that's kind of a little bit of a silver lining in this whole situation, that I'm going to get a new ride out of it. Just again, be safe out there, folks. Be safe. All right, folks, I am going to be joined by a gentleman on this episode that I met back in May at the Fanboy Expo. He is a game maker. That's right. I'm talking about a gentleman by the name of Jordan McLaughlin. Jordan is the man behind Rookie Mage Games. They're all basically card games, and they're really kind of cool, unique card games that I bet, even though I've never played any of them, I bet they're pretty damn fun. And so it took me a while to get Jordan to come on, but I have him joining me on this episode, and we're going to talk about all of his games. He's got like 8 or 9 that are out. One's coming out next year, probably in early 2023. And to me, the most interesting part of our conversation is Jordan walks me through the process of how he created these card games, which I thought was fascinating. So you're in for a good episode. And before we get to my conversation with Jordan, I want to let you know about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. As I tell you all the time, World's Greatest Comics is a superior comic book shop. If you need one, for whatever reason, maybe you just moved to Columbus and you need a new comic book shop to pick up your comics, you need to go on over to World's Greatest Comics and they will hook you up with an awesome pull system. But they also have plenty of things for your fandom, including single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. I mean, I could sit here and speak for another 30 minutes on the greatness of World's Greatest Comics, but you know what? You don't want to take my word for it. You want to see it with your own eyes. So go on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And I want to thank Jeff and all the fine folks over there at World's Greatest for their continued support of the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Jordan McLaughlin talking about Rookie Mage Games. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening with Jordan McLaughlin. Jordan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You are the man behind Rookie Mage Games, and let's talk a little bit about that company. How did you get started with this company? What was the original idea that sprung this from your head to do? Basically, you are a gaming company that deals with card games specifically.
Yeah, so it actually kind of started in like kind of the most simple way of me and my cousins and my boyfriend. We were all sitting around playing games one night, and my cousin just kind of leaned in and she's like, you know, you should just make one of these. And I was like, you're right, I absolutely should. And, you know, before I got home, I had, notes already on my phone. It's like, it's one of those things that once something clicks, you kind of have all these different ideas out there. And you never really know how to put them together. And then this one thing comes and then it's just like all these things work here. So I had the name Don't Get Stabbed before we even got home. That was our first game that we did on Kickstarter. And within 2 weeks I had a working prototype and, you know, started doing art and everything. And it probably only took me 4 months to really get it ready and get it up on Kickstarter.
Let's talk about the process. I'm going to jump ahead in my notes because this is the thing that I'm most fascinated with.
Yeah.
How does it begin? Okay, so you sit down, when you sat down for Don't Get Stabbed and you started to make a prototype, how do you actually go about doing that?
So basically for like the creative inspiration of when stuff starts, it comes from anywhere. Like I've had ones where I've been watching a TV show and there was a joke and I'm like, that's a really good joke. I'm going to put this in my little spreadsheet of ideas and stuff. And then like when I know I've got some creative energy, I go back to that spreadsheet and I'm like, is there something here? Is this funny? Is it as funny as I remember it being at the time? Is it something that you think you can adapt into something? So you sort of start trying to kind of pull in these different ideas and also just start thinking about where this would fit into the market. Who would be the people that would potentially buy it, where it fits into my catalog. Like I don't want to make games that potentially compete with other things that I have. So I do a lot of that at the beginning of, I don't have a 2-3 player game, for example. So what if I did something that's like that and kind of had this theme? So it always kind of starts there. And then it literally just starts with a big bucket of permanent markers and blank cards and just start messing around with different things until they work. You also try to think about like the emotions that you want people to have because basically what board games are is people are paying you to facilitate an experience for them and their other players, whether that's friends, family, or what. So you've got to think about like, what are the emotions that I want them to experience? So for Don't Get Stabbed, it's all horror movie themed. So like I wanted them to feel dread. So one of the mechanics I have is where you are pulling off the cards and finding out if you got a stab card or not. And when you play test that, you can hear like the people squeal and grimace as they have to pull off the card, wondering if they're about to get stabbed. And that's when I like knew I really got that. Then you have like a game like Portal Potties where it's all about just stupid toilet humor fun. So, you know, that game is literally just about being able to try to make families laugh, people being able to do stuff with their kids that they're all going to find hilarious because they're in the 8 to 12 age range where anything poop related is just inherently hilarious. So yeah, you've got to think a lot about that. And then you've also, you know, I very much at the beginning start thinking about how much is this going to cost? Because it's a business, you know, as much as I want to do whatever I want, I still got to make it at a play at a price that people are willing to pay for it. I've got some games that, you know, I've got prototypes that will probably never see the light of day. And that's simply because I knew if I were to do them, that's, you know, $100-$120 amount that I'm going to have to charge people. And that's just there's people out there that will do that, but that's just not really what I'm focused on.
So when you get your prototype all set to go, mm-hmm. and you think everything is perfect and you're ready to go, and you know, I'm sure that you've maybe had, because you have a business partner in Alex, correct? And I assume that you two kind of bounce ideas off each other and check each other's work, so to speak.
He kind of does the he does most of the financial stuff.
Okay.
He does most of the financial stuff, but he's also my first, I call him my first filter. I run ideas by him, and he will honestly say if I'm onto something or if that's the stupidest thing he's ever heard, which I appreciate that honesty very well. But yeah, once you have the prototype, it's a lot of playtesting. I typically hold what I just call playtesting parties, where I, like the first phase, once I'm pretty sure I've got something down, I have friends and family that I know are going to be honest with me, have them come. I don't get to tell them how to play the game. They have to read the instructions and make sure they figure it out on their own. So that way I know if the instructions make sense. And then they all get anonymous surveys at the end to give me some feedback. And then the last step is I have outside play testers, people who I've never met. They don't know me. They don't have anything, you know, don't have to worry about hurting my feelings. And I send them a prototype of the game and they send it back with the anonymous survey. And once it's kind of gone through all that, then it starts kind of moving on to like that final production stuff.
So in the industry, are there people that will test play? And like, is there, how do you reach out to those folks in that second stage of test play?
I just did it through the website, through Facebook. I just reached out and started finding people. I met some people at trade shows, like they've talked about it and mentioned it. And I'm like, you know, I can put my name on the list. Like, cause I get like a certain amount of information from them. Like if I know this is a kid's game, I don't want to send it to a 20-year-old that doesn't have kids that wants to play it, you know, with their college friends. You know, I try to find out of that list the people that have kids within the name, within the age range and such.
So you're all the way done. Test plays of are finished and everything. How do you go about getting the actual physical cards made?
So the there's normally one more step in there. I am a halfway decent artist, but I'm not the best artist by any means. Some of the games I can get away with doing the art, like I did for Don't Get Stabbed. But for the two kind of newer ones, Portal Potties and Oh Nuts, those had to have illustrations beyond my level. So that's when I start recruiting different like freelance artists. I have kind of like a little portfolio I put together of different ones, and I start going through like, what art style do I think really matches this? And then I'll reach out to them and start working with them to get kind of final art done. But then after that, I have a production company that I work with that does all the manufacturing. I tell them, you know, this is everything that it's going to be. You know, it's 60 cards, this size box, this size instruction sheet and everything. And they send me over templates, and then I start taking my prototype art and moving that over into those templates of stuff that they can use. And then they produce them, send them over. Normally takes like 6 to 8 months at this point, with the way, you know, cargo shipping and everything is these days. So it's a lot longer process. But it normally takes about that long. And then after that, I've got them in hand and start putting them up on Amazon and the website.
That's pretty cool. Thank you for walking me through that process, because I just, you know, from thinking about card games that I enjoy, I'm like, man, that's got to be like a daunting task to go from start to finish.
Yeah, it's something that I started having to make a process for myself, you know, mm-hmm. even though, you know, it's just me doing this, I need to keep myself accountable and, you know, like, okay, this step needs done next. This step, don't get ahead of yourself. You know, don't fall behind. You've got to keep a good schedule. So I've got a little like worksheet of every single game, like where it's at in the process and how that works. So it's a lot of, you know, the fun creative stuff is like all up front. And then the boring business stuff that you have to do is the other 90% of making a game.
Well, let's talk about some of those games, because mm-hmm. we've already talked a little bit about your first game, Don't Get Stabbed, which is, mm-hmm. as you said, it's kind of like a horror movie type yep. of themed card. And did I read correctly that it's sold out currently?
No, we are in stock.
You're in stock. Okay.
Yeah, I've got plenty for the holidays. This typically for the past couple seasons, I've ended up selling out about halfway through December because I just keep underestimating demand. So I overestimated demand again, and hopefully we'll have plenty enough to get us through the year. So we have a good amount of Don't Get Stabs. I've got one called Zombies Want Pizza that's currently out of stock. This one was that game's first Halloween, and it's marketed for, you know, kids' Halloween parties. So that one sold out for this Halloween.
Can you describe Zombies Want Pizza for the listeners?
Yeah, so this was the fourth game that I made, and I had to start making kids' games because I'm pretty sure my nieces and nephews were going to kill me if I kept making games they weren't allowed to play. So at the time, they were kind of in the everything gross is funny phase. So I did Zombies Want Pizza, where it's a simple matching game of gross ingredients. So you got like chocolate covered flies and, you know, mustard flavored pudding and the grossest things that I could kind of think of. And everyone gets like five cards. They kind of match whatever the two grossest ingredients they think combination are. They put it down, and then the person that's the zombie goes through them, judges which ones they think is the grossest, and that person gets to live and the zombie eats the other ones. So I wanted a simple, gross game for kids to enjoy for Halloween.
Let's talk just for a minute about variety, because I've had this conversation with many independent creators, more predominantly from the comic book side of things. But variety, do you agree it is something that you have to have as a creator? I mean, obviously, when you are at a show, for an example, Fanboy Expo, you know, you had all of your games there. And do you think that is advantageous to anyone that is a creator to have a little sampling of everything?
I think that depending on what your product is it's okay. Gonna, because like, let's say you're doing a comic book, you know, you sell one person to a comic, you know, or one comic book to one person. Chances are you want to keep them around because you're going to have another comic book to sell them. The thing with games is that basically people buy it once and they're never going to buy it again. Like there's not really sequels to games, you know, board and card games or video games. Obviously there is, there's some out there, but you know, generally I've leaned towards, I want to have something where if you don't like it, Don't Get Stabbed, as I'm on a trade show or whatever, talking to you about it, I probably got something that would appeal to you.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really going to depend on your product of whether that's really necessary.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Jordan for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a proud sponsor of the PVDcast and also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got everything you need for your fandom. So stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. Well, let's go back to talking some more about some of these card games. You mentioned The Unseen, which as mm-hmm. it's described as kind of an adult party game, chock full of secret identities.
Yep.
When I read the description, I really had like this kind of weird, like thinking back to like noir films with the detective snooping around in that. So yeah. Is that accurate or is it a little more complicated than just that?
I mean, the look ended up being very noir.
Oh, really?
you know, it's very blacks and grays and kind of like the dirty paper type tone. But yeah, the Unseen's about a cult taking over a town. So in the industry, it's called like a social deduction game or a hidden identity game. So basically what you have is one person, you know, out of your group of 5 to 20 is the cult leader. And that person has brainwashed some of the other players to be in their cult. And they all know who each other are. And they're going to lie to everyone else to hide the cult leader's identity. So if you're not in the cult, if you're what's just called a regular villager, you're pulling cards that give you advantages to look at other people's cards to see if they might be the cult leader, if they could be brainwashed. So you know if maybe you could trust them or you could not trust them if you know they're not brainwashed. So everyone kind of gets a little piece of information, but then everyone's arguing over what information is true or not, because, you know, people are going to be lying about what they saw. They're going to be lying about, you know, what their identity is. My friends, you know, say that this is the best game I've made, even though it's the least popular one. We play this one almost every single time because it's just, it's a very social game. It doesn't have a whole lot of mechanics. The real basis of it is you individually figuring out how to manipulate the people around you.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Portal Potties and Oh Nuts. Yep. So let's talk a little bit about those. Those are both obviously very family friendly. Mm-hmm. What was your inspiration for these games?
You know, that's a very good question. I don't know if I remember. For Portal Potties, I knew I wanted to do something poop focused.
Okay.
Because, you know, you go to you go to Target, Walmart, like half the toys in there are like poop emoji this and all that other stuff. And I'm like, you know, this is a wave that isn't going to go away. Like everyone, you know, 8 to 12 thinks poop is hilarious. So like I wanted to make something like that because, you know, I'm also just extremely immature in general. So like I find it funny. but that one, I tried to make a game that had a little bit of strategic thinking and a lot of like counting and understanding math to it, while not going overboard to the point where, you know, you're going to turn kids off to, you know, the mechanics and fun of it. For Oh Nuts, I was initially trying to make what was in my mind a competitor to Uno. And it just kept changing and evolving the more and more that I did it. And I had this game and it had no theme. It didn't have squirrels or nuts or anything. It was all just number things that I couldn't figure out a theme for it. Until I just randomly was playtesting it and used the word stash for this one move where you take stuff out of your hand and you put it in this like kind of protected pile. And I really focused on that word. And I'm like, I just, you know, thinking of squirrels stashing nuts for the winter. And that just kind of brought out and evolved from there.
Okay. I think we have just one more to talk about, and that is Full of It, yep. Which is kind of a adult oriented conversation starters, correct?
Yes, very, very adult oriented. I actually got a 1-star review on Amazon for this like a couple weeks ago, talking about how it was too immature and you know far too adult questions, and I was actually a little proud of it.
So
Full of It actually started as a whole different game idea. It was a game that didn't work. It was a game called One Upper, and I was trying to replicate the everyone has that one friend that whenever you tell a story, they one up you of like, well, I had this happen, blah blah blah. And it had all these kind of, you know, these stories that were on them, and then everyone had to try to one up it. And then whoever was the best person who won up, it was the one that won that round. The problem is that it seems like I was just putting way too much pressure on people to just be able to think of this stuff off the top of their head, because it just led to long sections of silence as people just sat there and tried to think of something. So I kind of scrapped it, but I'm also like, I think there's something here. Like, these are just obscenely ridiculous things that I could reformat into something. I'm a big Amazon person, so I'm checking into like what's trending on Amazon, where are things that are selling well. And I just heard me like, you know, you can just kind of take these and turn them into questions, and then they're just adult conversation starters. So I just kind of repackaged everything in that, and that's how Full of It was made.
I'm going to ask, what's the worst conversation starter you've ever experienced?
Oh, dear. The worst one? Oh, geez. The worst one I have in my game, or just the worst one in life?
Either or.
I think my favorite one in the game, and every time I've seen someone ask this, you see everyone's face just kind of like drop. And it's, how have you disappointed your parents as a person? Of just like, when you now that you're an adult, why are your parents disappointed they had you at all? Because you see a lot of people of like, oh yeah, I know why my parents are embarrassed by me.
Okay. I do want to ask about a game that you had talked about when we first met back in May.
Yep.
And I just want to check the status of it. Nuns mm-hmm. with Nunchucks.
Yes. So
where is that game in the production cycle, so to speak?
So it is kind of in its final process.
Okay.
This one, Nuns with Nunchucks, is going to be going to Kickstarter. I've only done Don't Get Stabbed with Kickstarter. So this will be the second Kickstarter one I've done. And that's mainly because some of these other ones, like they work on Amazon. I wasn't convinced that they would work as a Kickstarter. That's a much different audience. You know, they're definitely don't have as many family friendly type things on there. But this one is not family friendly. It is very back to being completely ridiculous. It's all about ridiculous people that you can get in your army. Nuns with Nunchucks is, you know, for one, I just liked that card, so that became the name of it. But you have, Abraham Lincoln's evil twin brother, Tony Lincoln. Just the craziest things that I can think of. And they kind of all have like hit points and heal points. So it's really like a battle type card game. So as of right now, I'm planning to go to Kickstarter with that in February. That might change. You know, a lot of that right now is like my busy season for the holidays. So depending on how the holidays turn out, decides on, you know, kind of when these next things happen. Because I've got to sell the other games before I can start making new ones. So as of right now, February for that one.
All right. I don't think I asked you this, and I think I would be a terrible host if I didn't ask this question. What is your favorite card game or board game, if you want to go that route, or both? Hell, I mean, we'll just talk games anyways.
That's going to depend on the people I'm with and the scenario. Okay. But like, I'm a really big fan of going to a cabin in the summer and playing Skip-Bo at night. Like, ooh. I love just playing Skip-Bo. It's just nice, relaxing game you can play. But then you have stuff like Cards Against Humanity. There's a lot of hate for it, but with the right group, it's a great time. A werewolf, Ultimate Werewolf, is fun, but it's also like you got to have the right group for it. But I think my favorite of all time is probably Risk. Which I don't make games like that, but I think that's probably my favorite. I've got so many memories of staying up till 4 a.m. at a friend's house, you know, drinking beer when we weren't supposed to, playing Risk.
Mine is a family tradition. It has become a family tradition. Is Phase 10.
Nice. That's a good one, too.
We in the family love that game and play it all the time. So
I always get stuck like four phases behind everyone else. I'm good at making games. I'm not very good at playing them.
Well, you know, they have a Master's Edition, which is kind of cool because you can basically gamble before you pick up your hand. You put out what you don't go in order the phases. You
really?
Just predict. Yeah, they have it. It's made for four players. And so you can gamble. You say, well, I think in this hand, I'm going to get two sets of three. So you throw that card out and then you look at your cards and you're like, oh, and you're either like, yay, or, oh God, I screwed the pooch on this one, you know? So,
yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. Cause we play face down a lot too. So
yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like I said, it's a little twist. There's also, you can save cards each round. You can save one card instead of that was your discard. There's some neat twists to it. So,
yep.
All right, well, Jordan, let's go ahead and let's start wrapping things up here. Let's talk about websites, social media, where you can buy the games, anything along those lines.
Yep. So everything's up on Amazon. You know, Amazon's where I have all my games and do most of the sales. We also have a website, rookiemage.com, and we're on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we've also just recently started getting into distribution. So for like your friendly local game stores, they can start carrying all of our games. If they don't have them at your one, just ask them. And like, that's awesome because they're place an order and get them in there.
Rookie Mage, why'd you name the company that, can I ask? It just popped in my head when you said the name. I'm like, yeah, what? You know, that's an unusual name.
Yeah. So the name of the company was the last thing I did because I could not find anything I liked. I had whiteboards full of all these different name or like words and stuff that I thought were funny. And I'm like, I got nothing that seems to match. And then finally I kind of gave in of, okay, like I kind of like this. It's funny in my mind of, you know, a mage, but also he's new at it and he sucks at it. So he's still learning.
Okay.
So to me that was funny, but then I found out that there's a huge amount of people that don't know the word mage, which never occurred to me because where people will be like, it's rookie magi. What's that? I'm like, no, it's mage. And it's like, it's another name for a wizard. And then like, they get it, but like so many people don't get that name. And I'm like, well, I am too far down the road to change this now.
That's a great origin story. Yeah. I like that. All right. Well, Jordan, man, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me. I appreciate it. And I hope everybody that's listening goes out and buys a bunch of your games. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Jordan McLaughlin talking about his company, Rookie Mage Games, and all of the cool card games he has produced. Definitely check out his website. You know, Christmas is right around the corner. Maybe you need to find a unique gift for that certain special someone. I would urge you, check out rookiemage.com and peruse the catalog. You might find something that would help stuff that stocking or put a great present under the tree. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question or comment about this episode, or any episode for that matter. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook or Instagram feeds, and that is simply @PVDcast. Maybe someone you know does not know anything about this podcast and you want to help them find it. Well, let me tell you about all the different avenues where you can hear the PVDcast. Obviously, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and a great place to get every single episode. But it's also available through all of those podcasting outlets, you know, like Stitcher, like Spotify, like iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you want a third and easy way to listen to every weekly episode of this beloved podcast, well, simply go over to the Facebook page. Again, that's @PVDcast. Any Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I do a little Facebook broadcast. So you could catch that episode that way. And even maybe interact with me a little bit. If you have some comments about the episode, you can drop it in the comment section and I'll reply. So there you go. Three easy ways to hear the PVDcast. Now, I am going to request one small thing from y'all. If you listen to any episode of the PVD cast, please rate and review. That is so important for me. I mean, it pushes me up into the algorithm, pushes me higher on the charts. And, you know, if you are listening through the Facebook page, liking, you know, forwarding, sharing that particular episode is also key. Again, all of these companies want to know that you're listening, and this helps out not only me, but also those companies as well. All right. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm going to get on out of here. Once again, I thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.